race finisher, Jimmy Johnson, driver of the number 48 Lowe's Chevrolet. And Jimmy, just give us a quick recap of your night and especially those last final 10 laps.
Yeah, competitive night for us. You know, when the race first started, maybe it seemed like there was a little less grip. And then as the sun continued to go down, the track picked up some grip. We never really ran long enough to try the high lane and make up any time on it. But I felt like the racing got better as the night went on. Our car was performing well. It was fun with the strategy and putting those softs on and knowing I could drive like a maniac for a handful of laps. And that put us in a good position in segment two, and then we won segment three. And then I really felt like we were in a great situation, even though I didn't have control of that final restart. I thought Brad would really be able to hold back that inside lane, and I would be able to at least clear him through the center of one and two on newer tires. One further expansion on that restart environment, you either want to be the leader or in the second row. The second place guy can't jump and is usually the one in the most vulnerable position. But the second row can roll up and have a few miles an hour behind them before they hit the gas and usually make something happen. So, again, I was nervous when I saw that and saw that the two stayed out, but then I knew he'd take the inside on old tires. And I honestly felt like I was going to have it under control, but the 18 somehow got inside of the two, and that was kind of it for us on the win.
All right, we'll go ahead and take questions for Jimmy. Raise your hand and state your name and affiliation. We'll start up front with Jenna.
Jimmy, did any of it matter? Was whoever got the lead going to win the race with the clean air?
On equal tires, yeah. I think the green tire gave a large enough advantage for a short period of time to make something happen.
All right, Monty, go ahead.
Monty Dutton from yesterday. Is there a future, a practical future, for different optional tire compounds?
In my opinion, yes. We see it work in Formula One. We see it work in IndyCar. I think the garage area has, you know, obviously it's pretty new, but a favorable opinion of how this went tonight. And I personally don't have a problem with trying it. Really don't. I think it's better than having a button that makes the wing go down or a button that gives you more horsepower. I think it's a good way, a competitive way, and not in a gaming sense, you know, just a competitive way to create different paced cars in the field.
All right, Dustin, go ahead.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Jimmy, so much has been tried to make this event, special event. Is the tires, is there still a future here with this, or is this sport starting to look at making bigger and bolder decisions? Is it start to be a time to look at a venue change, or are there more things that can be done here to further enhance the racing?
Yeah, there's no doubt that, you know, mile and a half racing puts on a certain type of show. There's some that argue, you know, line us up at Bristol for an all-star race and we'll have the wildest night of racing you've ever seen in your life, or Richmond, something like that. I've had so much success here. I love being at home. You know, I'm really torn on where to go with it, and I think that Charlotte Motor Speedway works as hard as they possibly can to put on a great show. They're open-minded to any and every idea. But mile and a half do put on a certain style of racing. So I don't mind whichever direction it goes. I think I'd be sad to see it go because I've won so many all-star races here, and I would naturally want to pick one of my best tracks to have it go to and be selfish. So I think the all-star race should move to Dover, and it'd be a great night.
All right, go ahead, Caleb.
Caleb Whistler, Speedway Digest. So we knew the tires were good on short runs from like 6 to 8 laps, but how are they on a long run from 10 to 15 laps?
They weren't bad. I mean, the trend of handling for my car was the same on the yellows versus the greens. I didn't see a huge shift in trends over the run and balance change, so it just had a bit more grip and went faster for a short period of time, and then I think ended up in the same spot as the yellows did.
All right, Mike, go ahead.
Mike Ember, USA Today. Did you guys go with the optional tires in the second stage with the idea that you could catch Larson, or were you trying to set yourself up in a better spot for the third stage?
All of our discussions in the before the race were to put him on in the third stage. And then I left pit road, and about a lap after riding around, Chad said I was on my greens in the second stage. I thought, okay. So I don't know what the thought process was. I think knowing a few cars started on greens, Chad just wanted to strike first and get some track position and get some finishing positions in the bank, in a sense, just to increase our chances at a top 10 average and get us up front. So it worked out well, and I was able to hold off a couple guys on greens in the third segment to win that stage, so it played out just right.
All right, Jacob, go ahead, and then we'll come up front.
Jacob Seelman, Performance Motorsports Network. In the back, Jimmy. Going back to the tires a little bit and kind of following up from what you said about saying that you felt like there could be a future, tonight it seemed like there was a difference where you could get that few laps of the extra speed, but that the prime tires, there it didn't seem like there was enough of a difference between the two to really make it racy for a longer period. Is that something that you think maybe Goodyear could look into, especially in a night race situation where there is so much more grip already in the track?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, for their first attempt, I would just have to imagine that they were trying to be very smart and intentional with what they did and how they went about it. And to not have any failures or any big issues tonight, I think so. A commitment, they deserve to be commended on that. And sure, if they had another shot at it, I'm confident they would have ideas to do more. You know, but the one thing I don't want to overshadow, and we're always looking to make things exciting, we all run the same speed. The rule book is so thick, and the cars are so equal. We run the same speed, and you can't pass running the same speed. It's just the bottom line. So pit road's so important. The short run when the tires are cool and how the car acts and behaves in 2 to 3 laps, that's where the race is won and lost now. It's just the environment that we're in, and it's a credit to the garage area being so smart, and not in a negative sense, but the damn rule book's too thick. There's too much going on. We're all running the same speed.
All right. Go ahead up front.
Jimmy, Pete McColl with AutoRacing1.com. Part of the hype leading up to this race was that NASCAR was hoping a lot of drivers would take those option tires in the last segment and start in the back, work the way up to the front. Why is it that, I know your strategy was not to take the option tires in the last segment, but no one took option tires in the last segment. So was there no advantage at all to taking them in the last segment? Do you think that everyone was as just as equal with the prime tires as they were with the option tires in the final 10 laps?
Yeah, it's really a numbers game. And I think that all the crew chiefs, especially Chad, noticed, and this is all just speculation, but there are 3 cars that started on the greens. And if they marched their way up to the front, it would have been really easy for everybody to wait. Because starting in the back on greens for a 10-lap shootout, there's no way. You know, so they watched the progression of that. Then I think we were on the aggressive side and put ours on. We went from 4th to 2nd. We made up 2 spots. So as everybody looked at that and that you could only get a couple spots out of it, I think it was pretty easy for teams to decide to put them on in 3rd and then just worry about track position for that 4th segment.
All right, we're going to take 2 final questions for Jimmy and let him go before we start with Kyle. We're going to go to Bob and then end with Dustin. Go ahead, Bob.
Bob Hockrus, ESPN. Obviously, Dale Jr. didn't have a good night, and he said he was concerned. What do you do, considering you guys are both kind of in the same shop, to either pick them up or help them out?
I don't have a clue how they did or what even went on, so I don't know yet. But we'll do anything we can, obviously, to help those guys. We'll do anything we can. I know we were trying some stuff, and I'm not sure I'm in love with everything we did this weekend, but we're definitely trying some stuff.
All right, our final question from Jimmy from Dustin.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Jimmy, you made the reference about the rule book being so thick. So are you, a lot of people talk about fans talk about a run, what you brung. I mean, that's probably too extreme, but is there something else that can be done in light of that for this event then, as opposed to, what we were talking about earlier with the venue change? Is it something more about loosening up the rule book, and how might that be done in a reasonable way to where there's still some balance and fairness for everybody involved?
Yeah, I'm like everybody else that is involved in this sport. I have an opinion, but I don't have the answer. So I just know that when you look at qualifying and you look at the cars on the track, we want parity. We want the manufacturers to all have the same opportunity to go fast, and these teams all build the same stuff. and we all sit there and run the same speed, I mean, it makes sense. You know, we all have access to the same stuff. So I don't have the answer. I guess I say that in trying to not say that it's the track's fault or something that's going on here. Mile and a half racing is mile and a half racing. You know, it's kind of that way. And when all the cars are qualifying as tight as they do, and you know, we can't pass as easily as anybody would like to see, we just have to logically look at it and say, hey, they're all going the same speed. No wonder they can't pass. Yeah.
All right, Jimmy, we appreciate your time tonight.
Thank you.